Chapter 3, Fine-Tuning Your Nervous System, Relaxation versus Arousal. Arousal on the tour. When Sam Snead was breaking into the golf business at the Greenbrier in West Virginia in 1936, the club pro organized a match to introduce Sam to some of the top players in the area. He paired Sam with two former national amateur champions, Lawson Little and Johnny Goodman, and former U.S. Open champion, Billy Burke. After the other three had teed off on the first hole, Sam describes the following scene. Bending over, I had to take both hands to tee up the ball. The ball looked all blurred as I stood over it. My nerves were hopping right out of my skin. And then I stepped away and did something I had been practicing. I just let my mind take a rest by not thinking of anything in particular. If I thought of anything, it wasn't the crowd or the match, but sort of a mixture of all the good drives I'd ever made. Some people call it concentration, but to me, it's more the trick of not thinking at all or letting the world go by. It's sort of daydreaming about a wonderful place you've been or something happy you've done, but with no details dragged in. In that frame of mind, the ball isn't anything fearful. It's just a thing you're going to hit well. This is something you can teach yourself to do, and I recommend it to all golfers who get the tee jitters. I swung and upon looking up, heard the crowd gasp and saw my ball rolling down there 25 to 30 yards past anything else that had been hit. A good 280-yarder. I would encourage you to review Sam Snead's comment about thinking focused on, and I quote, a mixture of all the good drives I'd ever made, end quote, when he experienced his tee jitters. If Sam Snead's style during his early days of competition fits you, make a written note of this strategy and read it frequently between rounds and prior to play. Remember, Fred Couples never hits a shot without calling up that shot from another time. Bank your good shots and call them up as you need them during play. When you experience anxiety on the first tee, when you play so well you pass your comfort zone, or you look at the scoreboard and find yourself in the hunt, your nervous system begins the equivalent of an electrical storm. The overloaded circuitry of your nervous system has billions of neurons firing, so many that a flood of thoughts becomes part of this firing process and your ability to focus concentration diminishes. These are the times when you stand on the green trying to read a putt and can't stay focused long enough to visualize the line. Or as you stand over the putt, you don't remember going through your routine or what you were doing. Or as you set up to your tee shot, you just hit the ball without consideration of a target. Bobby Jones said that many players make the mistake of overcoming their first tee apprehension by assuming indifference. He said, when you try to keep your heart from pounding or your hands from trembling, you might get slack or lazy, which can be worse than nervous. Interestingly, Jones, like Henry Cotton, had trouble controlling his nervous system, and this particular quotation likely reflects this difficulty. By one report, Jones would lose 10 to 15 pounds before a tournament, never ate breakfast or lunch, and only had dinner and a drink after 10 p.m. In 1931, Jones described experiencing so much nausea on the days of competition that he was unable to button his shirt collar or wear a necktie. Similarly, LPGA Tour player Nancy Lopez said that during her amateur days, she would throw up in the morning, throw up on the way to the course, and throw up at the golf club. Excitement and arousal. Bill Britton finished second in the Williamsburg, Virginia, PGA Tour Anheuser-Busch Classic in July 1992. His comments regarding his play are interesting. I try not to look at the scoreboard during a round, but I looked this time and saw that I was tied for the lead. Well, when I get excited, I tend to hook the ball. I hit what was probably the worst shot of the tournament. The thoughts of the night before a round, the first tee of a big tournament, or seeing your name on the leaderboard may or may not lead to fear. The situation is exciting. This excitement produces the same physiological arousal as fear, worry, anxious anticipation, and anger, and can disrupt anything from performance to sleep. PGA Tour player Johnny Miller says one strategy that works for him and helps him get into a frame of mind to deal with pressure is to say to himself, I can't wait to hit that shot or play that round. There is an important differentiation between the excitement of anticipation and the can't wait to get to the tee feeling of confidence. The arousal of can't wait to get to the tee produces a desired focus. Too much excitement can create a high arousal state. You have to learn to walk this fine line. Tom Kite, winner of the 1992 U.S. Open, and David Faraday, European and PGA Tour player, have both had experiences that taught them not to get too excited with good play, especially earlier in the round. Recall that Tom Kite holed out a 20-yard pitch shot on the seventh hole the last day of the 1992 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach and kept himself from getting too excited. Tom Kite and David Faraday both say that too much excitement, too soon, can cause a good round to go south. Miller Barber won at least one tournament a year while playing the regular PGA Tour from 1967 to 1974. This was matched only by Jack Nicklaus. Barber never won a major being a PGA Championship, a U.S. Open, Masters, or British Open. He never won a major on the regular tour. He said, I came close a couple of times, but it seems like I got too excited, too charged up mentally. I began to anticipate winning too soon. Similarly, PGA Tour player Davis Love III won 9 times between 1986 and 1995. None of which was a major. He has never been a serious contender at a major. He says, the secret is not to get too pumped. My game is good enough to win. I just have to go play my game. My problem has been that I don't go out and play golf. As soon as you put a value on a putt, a shot, a round, or tournament, you lose your present focus. Your thoughts advance to the future. Your nervous system accelerates, and concentration skills diminish as your physical movement and swing tempo quicken. Regarding emotions, Jack Nicklaus said, my experience is that the higher and lower you let your emotions range over particular golf shots you hit, the higher the total will be when they're all added up. Therefore, another of my mind game basics has been to stay as emotionally level as possible, however I was at any given moment. Every time I let myself get all juiced up about an approach landing close, or a long putt dropping, or pretzeled up about a miscue or bad bounce, whammo, I'd end up getting nervous, and the more nervous I got, the more trouble I'd run into. Eventually, with increasing maturity, I managed to find a way to look sufficiently happy about good shots and sad about bad ones without allowing my great internal peaks or valleys. The origins and physiology of arousal. My personal belief is that we inherit a nervous system style along a continuum of very relaxed to very aroused. This nervous system predisposition is amplified by direct learning experiences and vicarious learning through the adult and peer models we observe from infancy to adulthood. The branch of our central nervous system that controls our breathing, our heart rate, blood pressure, and so on, is the autonomic nervous system, also known as the peripheral nervous system. Now, there are two divisions of this part of our nervous system. The first one is arousal, which is also known as the sympathetic nervous system, and the second is relaxation, or the parasympathetic nervous system. Physical changes occur in the peripheral nervous system as part of the total arousal picture. This part of the nervous system experiences the fallout from the brain when we sense danger, when we become angry, or there is some other threat to our social, emotional, or physical well-being. Our brains process this information and produce neurochemicals in response. The following are a few of the physical changes that these neurochemicals create. Now, what I'd like for you to do is picture the following as a series of links in a total chain. So the first link in the chain is increased heart rate. The second link is increased blood pressure. The third is slowing towards cessation of digestion. The fourth is increased muscle tone or tension. The fifth link is increased breathing rate. The sixth link is constriction of blood vessels. Seventh link is increased blood sugar levels. Eighth link is pupil dilation. Ninth link is reduced salivation, which basically means you're going to have dry mouth. And the tenth is sensory systems become more alert. Now note that these physical events are produced as a result of our thoughts or perceptions of the environment. These events occur as a chain. If you alter one link, you will affect the other physical states of the chain. For example, if you are aroused and begin to breathe deeply and slowly, you will quiet the physically aroused state. If your thinking doesn't also change to positive thoughts of calm and control, the aroused physical state will quickly resume. It is not uncommon to find players who hold their breath during periods of stress. The oxygen starvation from breath holding has a similar effect to the shallow, rapid breathing style. Regardless of whether you are a breath holder or a rapid, shallow breather, the corrective strategy is the same. Breathe deeply and slowly, making your exhalation last twice as long as your inhalation. Causes of arousal. What produces arousal? There are four primary producers of arousal. Number one, acceleration of thinking to the future. Number two, anger. Number three, fear. Number four, excitement. Now let's go through each of these. A future focus or anticipation is an acceleration of thinking to the future. Both of these behavior styles are learned habits that produce arousal and distraction. When you got in the shower today, you were physically there. However, mentally, your thoughts were likely on the events of the day, tomorrow, next week, and so on. Thoughts about the future accelerate the activity of the nervous system. A sense of urgency, a time focus, worry, anticipation, fear, or excitement are all possible characteristics of a future focus. This anticipation usually has mental images that accompany it. When you're late, you can see the disgusted look or hear the disapproval, and you begin planning your defense or worry about what they will think. A future focus on the course is something as simple as calculating score during play. Your thoughts and images take you to the clubhouse before you finish your round. This style of thinking can create a loss of concentration and increased arousal. Number two, anger and frustration build when we are repeatedly blocked from a goal. A state of arousal accompanies this anger and frustration. A missed shot, performance less than we expect, slow play, a wait in traffic, or an inability to find something misplaced are all examples of situations that can produce frustration or anger. Number three, fear. Fear is a primary driving force in nervous system arousal. Anything that poses an emotional, social, or physical threat produces a future focus, anxious anticipation, or fear. Fear of judgment or disapproval from others, fear of failure, fear of success, or fear of the unknown are examples of fear-driven arousal. Situations that produce fear or anxiety vary from one person to another. Standing on the first tee with three groups waiting to play and watching, playing your first tournament, playing with certain people, or attempting a shot out or over a hazard, all can produce fear-driven arousal. Number four, many players get excited when they're playing well, especially when they play through their comfort zone. Unless you control excitement, your nervous system will gradually evolve to an arousal state that will hinder performance. That's why tour players consciously avoid getting too excited too early in a round. PGA Tour players Tom Kite and David Faraday both describe the importance of controlling emotions during play. Recall again that Tom Kite said he wanted to jump in the air after holing his pitch shot on the seventh hole of the 1992 U.S. Open. He said he didn't because he still had 11 holes to play. Arousal levels are very individual. Many of you take an aroused state to the golf course. Your arousal may be a personal style taken from our high-stress, fast-paced society. Deadlines, a constant focus and anticipation about the future, concern with things that need to be done, or thoughts of what others are thinking about pertaining to you are a few examples. Others of you have a frequent feeling of urgency and concern for time. You set your watches ahead as well as your thoughts. You flush the toilet before you have finished urinating. You are in a hurry and on your way to the next life event, perhaps running your hands under the faucet as you pass the sink. On course. A state of physical arousal evolves on the course when you think about how others might judge your performance. Physical arousal is also produced by that 3-foot putt for the lowest score you have ever recorded. Playing with people you perceive to be slow, or when you feel pushed by the group behind you. The out-of-bounds markers and hazards, especially when they are looming in front of your next shot, or noting you are well below your usual score after 9 holes, can also alter that balanced internal physical state of comfort and relaxation. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to practice on the range with people talking while you're hitting? What about the secluded 8th tee, when someone moves or makes a noise? Why is that so distracting? You are aroused because of what you are telling yourself about the situation. When you stand on the first tee of a tournament with a gallery of 20 people watching, when you have a water hazard or larger bunker to hit over, these conditions trigger or cue thought routines. You have a choice at this point, a choice most players don't know they have. If you are like Sam Snead or Fred Couples, you breathe deeply, relieve all the tension from your body, and begin to focus on a time when you successfully hit the shot you are about to play successfully. You have confidence. If you are like most players, the gallery of 20 produces a distraction from the shot you are hitting to thoughts of their judgment of your performance. If you have had recent problems out of bunkers or over hazards, a distraction of thoughts and images of those failed shots intrudes and your confidence deteriorates. Jack Nicklaus says, "You can overcome the get it over with, can't stand the suspense syndrome by consciously slowing down. Step back and take a deep breath, or two or three, while focusing your mind exclusively on the various practical factors, distance, lie, ground conditions, wind, hazards, etc., that you must evaluate to decide your best course of action. Don't even take a club from your bag until you've done this clearly and conclusively. When you walk on the first tee, you carry the events of the day and the associated physiological state with you. Your physiology can affect your performance on the course positively or negatively. When you relax, this state will positively affect your performance. If you are tense or aroused, your performance will deteriorate in direct relationship to your level of arousal. If you practice on the range by hitting one ball after another without stopping between shots to go through your routine, your swing tempo will gradually increase as you continue to practice. Your performance will deteriorate with this faster tempo. Go through your entire routine on each shot. Hit shorter clubs to get a feeling of the tempo. Slow and quiet your movement as you do. Leave the range and go to the putting green if this doesn't work. What happens when you arrive at the practice range or course running late? Do you rush? If so, arousal will result. I have a playing partner who is often putting on his shoes on the first tee. He is always late, no matter where he goes, and his focus is in the future. It takes 9 holes for him to mentally join us. Then he asks why he plays better on the back 9 than on the front. Off course. Most of us stay mentally in the future when at home, as we shower and dress, in our car, with our children, at work, and on the golf course. When our thoughts accelerate to the future, our nervous system accelerates. We become increasingly aroused. Thus, most of us undergo constant arousal as part of our daily routine. An aroused state produces a condition of vigilance. This vigilance produces a continuous scanning of the environment. Concentration tends to be short. The internal agitation or arousal of the nervous system results in a lowered frustration tolerance, irritability, distractibility, and quickened movement. If this state exists off the course, it will be with you on the course. An off-course state of high arousal can disturb sleep. These difficulties usually are expressed as problems falling asleep or a restless night. Your awake periods are spent intermittently looking at the clock and mentally calculating how many hours of sleep you can get if you can just fall asleep now. This mental calculation is as disruptive for sleep as mentally calculating your score during your round is for play. Learning to slow down movement, developing a moment-to-moment focus, and applying the breathing and cognitive therapy procedures outlined in this book will not only benefit your performance on the course, but also your performance, your health, and mood off of the course. I have successfully used these same strategies for years in treating a variety of physical disorders from migraine headaches and nausea associated with chemotherapy to irritable bowel syndrome, panic, and sleep disorders. I also mentioned mood. How can this arousal state affect mood? When we are late for an appointment, we begin to rush. It is at these times when concentration lapses that we spill or break things or make mistakes on simple tasks or have close calls or accidents. Why? Arousal. We are future focused. We leave the moment. We don't concentrate. What happens at these times? Our IQ goes up. That doesn't mean you get smarter. Here, IQ means irritability quotient. Have you ever noticed how irritable you become at times like this? How short-tempered you can be? How your tolerance to frustration is lowered? How things you usually ignore become major irritants? All because of arousal? You bet. The irritability we experience internally as increased nervous system arousal is externalized as short-tempered irritability. Thoughts can produce an internal state of tension. A phone call, a letter, a picture, or a song may serve as a cue to focus on a problem. The physiological changes these thoughts produce can cause your heart to race, your blood pressure to rise, muscles to tense, your breathing rate to accelerate, and so on, as a generalized state of arousal. If this state goes uncorrected, it will be carried to the course or to bed. On the course, your golf performance will deteriorate. In bed, your sleep and sexual performance deteriorates. Practice the relaxation and thinking strategies in this book, and you can improve everything from golf to sleep performance, and, oh yes, even sexual performance. Other causes. It isn't just the conditions of play or pressures from work or family or social situations that will produce this state of arousal. Diet and personality type may predispose you to excessive nervous system arousal that will impede your performance. The following is a list of some of these factors that can affect arousal. Diet, your caffeine intake, your breathing rate, your off-course stress, meaning work, home, or stress that's internally created. Your personality style may also predispose you to higher arousal levels. As I already noted, the nervous system's electrical storm associated with arousal causes an acceleration of physiology and movement and swing tempo, all creating a deterioration in physical and mental performance. Numerous physical problems like peptic ulcers, colitis, indigestion, migraine, and many other conditions are triggered by an internally aroused state over a prolonged period. Similarly, some people, even seasoned tour players, experience a restless sleep the night before a tournament due to an aroused state from anticipation. When anxiety is extreme, it is not uncommon for a person to experience nausea, constipation, diarrhea, or some other organ system involvement. As mentioned, Bobby Jones reportedly lost between 10 and 15 pounds every time he played in a tournament. He only had one meal a day and ate that one at 10 p.m. after he'd had a few drinks and had mellowed. He couldn't keep breakfast or lunch down. Henry Cotton and Nancy Lopez were also known for their stomach problems and associated nausea and vomiting. Nancy experienced her difficulties during her amateur years. Like Bobby Jones, Cotton's ability would place him in a dominating position only to slide in the final round. In the 1931 British Open at Carnoustie, Cotton was ahead after three rounds only to shoot a 79 on the last day. In the 1933 British Open at St. Andrews, he again shot a 79 in the final round to finish three strokes behind the winner, Denny Shute. Cotton's stomach ache problems would often accompany the final round decay. He would reportedly vomit just prior to the round. Future focus. People who focus on the future tend to be anxious. Most of us live mentally in the future the majority of the time. What do you think about during your morning shower? Do you think about the soothing quality of the water, or are you thinking about the afternoon, the next day, next month, and so on? This type of future focus is arousing. If your thoughts accelerate to the future off of the course, these mental habits will be with you on the course. Remember, when top players play their best rounds, they report a one shot at a time, 100% focus in the present, only on the shot they are playing. Your thoughts on the course that reflect a future focus may be on score and what you have to do to get it back. What you will have to shoot on the backside to improve your round, the difficult shot on the next hole, or something pending that doesn't even pertain to your round of golf. Arousal and control. So, what is arousal? We know the neurochemistry, the physiological changes that occur, and the impact it has on our health and performance. The signs of arousal and the stress response are the same. This high arousal state is stress. How do we recognize it? One form of stress or high arousal is easy to recognize. Simply stated, it is a loss of control. Any situation in which you don't perceive yourself 100% in control is a stressor, and the physical changes described will occur. Consider the following examples. Number one, you were playing with players better than you. You hit a shot out of one greenside bunker over the green into another bunker. Your next shot also flies the green. You notice your shoulders tighten as you hurry to your ball, wondering what the others are thinking about your performance. Who is in control? Number two, you realize that the group playing behind you is waiting on your group after every shot. You find yourself rushing and thinking about the group behind you during your shots. Who is in control? Number three, you enter a room with a group of people. You think about the judgment of others regarding your appearance, your presentation, etc. Who is in control? Number four, you are playing a tournament round and begin to wonder what the cut will be. Who or what is in control? Number five, you are playing in a professional event. You begin to think about where you must finish to be eligible to play in the next event. Who or what is in control? Number six, you are approaching the last couple of tournaments of the year. You find yourself thinking about how much you will need on the money list to retain your exempt status on tour. Who or what is in control? Number seven, you have a talk planned to a group and your thought focus is on what people will think of your presentation. Who is in control? Number eight, someone asks you for assistance or your boss requests that you do extra work. You don't want to, but you worry about what they might think or do if you decline. Who is in control? Number nine, any situation you avoid for reasons of conflict, judgment, loss of love, etc., is not in your control. Who is in control? In any situation in which your behavior occurs for others out of fear or concern for future consequences, you are not in control. Number 10, habits of rushing, urgency, a focus on time, and living mentally in the future or past are a loss of control. Number 11, any situation in which you lack confidence, in which you don't believe in your ability to perform well, is a loss of control. Number 12, how many things can go wrong in the morning, or how many red lights does it take when you're running late, or how many bad shots can you hit before you become frustrated, angry, and so on? How does this state affect your performance? Who or what is in control? Number 13, many of us are taught during our childhood to be aware and concerned about what the neighbors will think. The concern for judgment of others is indoctrinated at an early age. Our clothing styles are a clear illustration of our level of social self-consciousness. Who is in control? Results of arousal. PGA Tour player Johnny Miller says he enjoyed playing with a tournament leader and watching how he would handle the pressure. Miller describes two types of players. The first player he describes is the fear of failure type. He notes that this player changes his playing routine, usually rushes more, takes fewer waggles and starts blaming his equipment or the course. He describes the other player as just the opposite. He notes the other player anticipates success, and you can tell. He couldn't wait for the opportunity to succeed. People like him get a look in their eye. Raymond Floyd is one. When he's focused, he looks like he stuck his finger into a light socket. Tour player David Faraday further states that the guys who win all the money are the ones who control blind panic. He describes coming down to the final holes of a tournament in the lead by a shot with my backside the size of a shirt button. Nervous anticipation produces an arousal level in most people that creates a flood of undesired sensory information to the brain. This information processing is so rapid that concentration for more than a brief moment is difficult before intrusive thoughts override your thought focus with new content, usually unrelated to the moment. Many people with this style of nervous anticipation have a fear of embarrassment and concern for what others will think, or at the very least, a period of anticipation of what's to come. Things begin to occur in your body related to your thought patterns. A mood state of irritability and nervousness and a lowered frustration tolerance and anger are often part of this process. Other players get excited about how well they are playing, and thoughts of score and a great finish take them mentally to holes ahead or even to the end of the round. When some players aren't putting well, there is pressure to hit it close to the hole. We all become nervous at times. Each of us shows pressure differently. These telltale signs are followed by a change in tempo, a breakdown in the pre-swing routine, a lowered frustration tolerance, or similar quickened movement around the ball, or similar indications of an aroused nervous system. The performance consequences of arousal. Johnny Miller described the effects of arousal as he perceived them. He says the first step toward dealing with pressure is to admit you get tight under pressure, then recognize how it manifests itself. He states the arousal produced by pressure, and I quote, heightens your awareness. Your brain gets knocked up a notch or two. It speeds up, and the way you process data is messed up. You've got all this information coming to you real fast, and you're not used to it, so you get confused. You have to take deep breaths to slow your heartbeat, or sing a song slowly, or walk more slowly. I've done all these things. I've likened pressure to tuning in a radio. Get too excited, tell yourself you want it badly, and it's static time. You can't let the moment overwhelm you and hold you captive. End quote. As a psychologist, teaching professional, and player, I believe that too much physical arousal and the associated tension are the greatest obstacles of the golf swing. Obviously, the exceptions are those few under-aroused players for whom arousal increases their focus and improves performance. Johnny Miller intuitively recognized that excessive physical arousal creates increased muscle tension and changes in the nervous system that result in everything from a quickened swing pace to disrupted concentration. Regardless of the cause, the vigilance and internal acceleration created by this aroused physical state cause changes in your nervous system that impede optimum performance. First, these changes produce an overload of sensory information as your brain gathers content from the environment in preparation for action. This flood of information interferes with concentration and the desired present focus, two mental states necessary for peak performance. In turn, as your nervous system accelerates, physical movement quickens. Performance suffers with a faster-than-normal swing tempo, and timing and balance are compromised. Let's review. Some event cues a thought that is expressed as a pattern, which results in an alarm that triggers emotional and physical changes. These physical changes include increased heart rate, increased respiration or breath holding, increased muscle tension. When we experience negative anticipation, fear, alarm, or anger, our bodies mobilize for action. This mobilization is the fight-or-flight mechanism. When primitive man saw danger on the horizon, an internal alarm went off, and his body mobilized in preparation to either stand and fight or flee the situation. This internal alarm is cued by thoughts of anger, pending danger, or fear, resulting in both physiological and mood changes. Now, much has changed since the days of primitive man. However, the physical mechanism of fight or flight has not. Sam Snead experienced this physical mobilization on the first tee in 1936 when he had to use both hands to tee up his ball and he had trouble focusing his vision. Obviously, when the alarm response occurs, the subsequent physical changes don't help performance. The muscle tension alone can create swing changes that result in poor performance. This sets off a cycle of tension, frustration, anger or anxiety, and repeat poor performance. The most obvious change in your swing is tempo. The pace of your swing quickens as the pace of your internal physiology quickens. Your overall movement on the course quickens. The faster swing tempo magnifies swing errors, and your performance deteriorates as the entire process cycles. When some off-course event sets off the alarm response, like a home or work situation, or being late for tee time, performance is affected in the same way. For example, a pattern of rushing, a sense of urgency, or worry produces physical changes of muscle tension, breath holding, and so on, which will result in an impaired swing when carried to the course. Many people believe that the golf course is their place of relaxation. The course may help to refocus your attention away from troubling or distressing thoughts. However, your habitual physical patterns, once established as a daily routine, don't quiet during a 4 or 5 hour round of golf. Swing pace, speed of speech, and walking pace are good indicators of how internally revved up someone is. Under arousal and performance. Now, there is a population of people who are just the opposite. For these few players, their biggest problem is being under aroused. These under aroused players are usually the tour players who need assistance with concentration skills to increase their ability to focus more on the present and shot at hand. These players need arousal induction, especially in the area of learning to focus concentration. These under-aroused players perform best when their levels of arousal increase. If you are unhurried, not focused on time, have few if any concerns of being late, or if you feel more focused and performance improves during periods of what you perceive as anxiety and high arousal, you may be one of the few fortunate under-aroused. John Adams tied the Dubs Dread course record in 1993 in the third round of the PGA Tour Western Open with a 63. He recorded 7 birdies and an eagle. He described picking up his pace during putting as the turning point. I hadn't made a putt for 2 days, so today I decided to speed up my pace on the greens. I just kept rolling them in. The right pace is not always a slow pace, especially for the under-aroused. One of the first professionals I worked with years ago played on the United States LPGA and Japanese LPGA tours. She described an inability to perform well when she had a routine 6 or 7 iron to the green. But, she quickly added, put me behind a tree and watch me play. She was what we call laid back. She appeared very relaxed and unshakable. You could see it in her deliberate pace and hear it in her voice. She was laid back. However, she wasn't focused. That routine 6 or 7 iron was just that. It was routine. The difficult shots from behind a tree required creative thoughts and a discussion with herself and her caddy about what she was going to do with the shot. She used the same procedures for the routine shots that she used for the more difficult shots around and over obstacles. She would stand behind the routine fairway shots, describe to herself and her caddy the shot she was going to hit, go through her routine with that focus, and hit it. For example, she would check the wind, her lie, the terrain, and her target. Then she would identify the landing area on the green, taking several deep breaths during this process, and say something to the effect of, I'm going to start this ball out at the right edge of the top branch on that large oak tree and draw it into my target, watch it bounce twice, and roll in the hole. Whether you are relaxed and under-aroused or fast-moving and over-aroused, the same principles apply. The under-aroused player is definitely in the minority. I recently did a playing workshop for the PGA of America, where there were 50 club professionals and former PGA Tour professionals in attendance. After an extensive introduction regarding the physiology and characteristics of over and aroused players, I asked for a show of hands of those individuals who would categorize themselves as under aroused or perceive themselves as needing to get up to play well. Not one person raised his hand. The majority of players are over aroused, both on and off the course. These over-aroused players have to tone down their nervous system to reach an optimum level of arousal so they can focus. As already discussed, a cascade of events occurs with nervous system arousal. If the nervous system is naturally under-aroused, this cascade of events moves the person closer to optimum arousal for performance. If our normal level of arousal is moderate to high, minor increases in arousal or anxiety cause a flood of thoughts to begin. Movement quickens, breathing and heart rate accelerate, frustration tolerance is lowered, and the ability to focus a singular thought on one event diminishes. I was working with a player on the putting green one day after several prior discussions regarding his low arousal. We were discussing conditions under which he experienced increased focus and improved imagery, especially during putting. He said when he experienced more anxiety, he got more focused. My thought was, that makes no sense, especially with what I know about the way the nervous system works. I know that anxiety tends to impair singular, concentrated focus and produces a hair trigger for distraction. Then I began to wonder if he was talking about the same anxiety I was. After continued discussion, I realized we weren't. This is a guy who calls and doesn't seem to ever be in a hurry to get off the phone. When he has a plane to catch, no worry. If he misses the flight, there's always another one. These same players can be pushed to the point of too much arousal under conditions of extreme pressure. Place them in contention to win a tournament, let them know where they are on the leaderboard, and arousal kicks in. This is the time they need to quiet their nervous system and work toward an internal balance as they walk the tightrope of arousal while sustaining peak performance. Performance model of arousal. The stress response creates an internal state of arousal. This aroused state relates directly to performance. Research shows too much or too little arousal affects performance. Optimum arousal levels produce optimum performance levels, so researchers say. Earlier in this chapter, I addressed the irritable mood often associated with arousal. This same arousal state can impede performance. What happens to your performance when you are running late or thinking about things other than what you are doing? What happens to your thinking when you are rushing? Do you feel physically aroused? Is this the time you spill or break something or injure yourself or almost have an accident in your car? Is your thinking in the present or in the future? What happens to your social or physical performance when you worry about what others are thinking? These questions imply that there are a number of different kinds of arousal: the mental states of concentration, images and thoughts, and the physical signs I've reviewed. The role each of these plays in performance is highly individual, although related in a chain of internal events. High arousal characteristics. Now, how do you know whether you have a high arousal or a low arousal personality style? The following are a few of the indicators of the highly aroused person. These indicators are not an all or none situation. They occur along a continuum depending on the degree of arousal. Number one, acceleration in thought, which is also translated to a short concentration span. Number two, quickened movement and a tendency to rush. Number three, breathing rate that exceeds 5 complete breaths in a 30-second period, unless you hold your breath at times of stress, that is. Number four, fist clenched. Number five, neck and shoulder tension. Number six, there's a tendency to spill, break, or forget things. Number seven, easily startled. Number eight, easily frustrated, and a tendency to be irritable. Number nine, time-oriented, purposely sets watch ahead, and frequently checks clock or watch. Number 10, rapid speech. Number 11, easily distracted. Number 12, impatient. Number 13, thoughts are future-focused. Number 14, there's a sense of urgency. Number 15, difficulty falling asleep. Number 16, concerned regarding the judgment of others. Number 17, when experiencing high arousal, judgment is impaired and performance deteriorates. And these similar characteristics in older years would include number 18, tendency to have minor accidents. Number 19, physical complaints, headaches, nausea, shoulder and neck tension, and bouts with minor illnesses within one or more target organ systems. Now let's look at the low arousal characteristics. The characteristics of the low aroused person are just the opposite of the highly aroused. A few of the low arousal characteristics are as follows. Number one, easygoing. Don't just look easygoing, as some of us do. Seldom aroused internally. Number two, low aroused people are not worriers. Number three, there's no urgency in life. They always have time to talk. Number four, they are not governed by the clock. So I miss my flight. There'll be another one. Number five, they have a great tolerance to frustration. They have more patience than the average person. Number six, they have slower, deliberate movement, and their speech reflects an under-aroused nervous system. Number seven, the under-aroused player must get mentally aroused to focus more clearly in order to perform at his peak. Number eight, breathing rate in 30 seconds is 5 or less, and they don't hold their breath. Number nine, relaxed, laid-back posture. Number 10, they enjoy life in the present. Number 11, no difficulty falling asleep. Number 12, they talk and move more slowly than others. Number 13, noise and distractions will have little impact on the low aroused player. And finally, number 14, they are not easily startled. The under-aroused player can fall victim to the negative effects of too much arousal, especially in times of close competition in the final round or last few holes. At these times, they can use arousal reduction and focus techniques to end a tournament.
This is the end of Side A. Please fast forward to the end and turn the cassette over for Side B.